there is a true story in it because there's a human behind it. None of this is corporately made at all. And there is so much that I can't translate to a person who doesn't have their literal fingers on the product.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we get to talk jewelry, we get to talk luxury, we get to talk customer experience with a fascinating lady from the US who is talking to us about her fast-growing online store that's part of a much bigger bricks and clicks operation. I have to say a little bit of a thank you to her team. So she was recording this episode in the back of the store as they were getting ready to open for the day. And the team were like ghosts. I could see them wandering around in the background, but you'll pretty much not hear them at all. So amazing work from Babs and her team on the audio side of things there. A real, really impressive. Nothing makes me more nervous than, oh, the team will turn up partway through. No, but they did absolutely brilliantly and really cool. So huge thank you to Babs and her team for being so quiet. So what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about how she runs the team. We're going to be talking about the purpose that drives through their business, how they've been trying to build the same customer experience online as they have offline. We will be talking about product provenance, running services as well as physical products. Lots of cool stuff in this episode. I think you're going to enjoy it because I thoroughly enjoyed recording it. Please listen to the end, though, so you don't miss out on my guest top tips, which are very good, and my take on this episode. Running ads across a broad channel mix, but unsure where to invest your next pound? Alvi helps e-commerce experts like you with full funnel attribution, budget allocation, and automated bidding towards real business outcomes, so you can stop guessing and start scaling. Take children's clothing retailer POP, for example, who saw a 27% increase in average order value after implementing Alvi's bidding signals. Do you want similar results? Then go to ecmp.info/Alvi and book your demo. Make sure you add the note e-commerce master plan when you book to get your 3-month free trial. That's ecmp.info/Alvi to book your demo. ecmp.info/Alvie. And now to introduce our special guest. Babs Noel is the ringleader at Alara Jewelry, sellers of artisanal, eco-conscious fine jewelry, both designed in-house and supplied by renowned designers as well. Founded in 2004, they now sell via their physical retail store, Atelier, which is by appointment only at special events, and via their Shopify store. In total, the company does $2.9 million a year with 13% year-on-year growth, and the e-commerce store is booming, seeing 138% year-on-year growth as we record. Hello, Babs.
Hello. Good morning.
Very cool to have you on the show. I love a bit of jewelry chat. I love a bit of e-commerce chat. So very excited to have you here. How did you end up in the world of e-commerce?
Originally, prior to moving to where I am now, I lived in Denver. And I had two customers who had built the back end of the Universal Studios website.
Wow.
And so this was in 2002. And they were just enamored with me and the store I had there. And so they gifted me, which was very, very expensive at the time. And it was very much a one-off, a back end. And so I actually had a very, very early, you know, 02 sounds really early to me, e-commerce store. And it ran for a couple years. And then I moved here and I had a lot of other things to take up my time than that. So then I would say I really, after I moved to Bozeman in 2004, I really had more of a brochure site for a number of years with a lot of flash, you know. And I started up again in 2015, I would say in earnest in 2018, and in its current incarnation, it was more like 2020. I managed to upgrade my site just in time for the pandemic. It was complete. Just that's when I happened to decide to do it, and pandemic hit, and that new site was up and running in April of that year.
Wow.
So, yeah,
literally to the wire of the lockdowns.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Fate can be a great thing. For our younger listeners, Flash, just in case what you're wondering why we were laughing, Flash created the most beautiful websites, but they were completely nightmarish on every other front. Thank goodness that one disappeared. So you dabbled back in 2002, then you did more of a brochure, then you luckily put it all together for the pandemic, just in time for the pandemic on the Shopify store. Why at that point did you feel it was worth getting back into the e-commerce game?
At that point, since I live in a tourist-heavy area where the Bozeman is kind of the gateway to Yellowstone National Park, and we have visitors here literally from every corner of the globe. And once you start seeing that what you're carrying in your physical store has that broad of an appeal, initially, my thought was, well, it would be great if I could keep the momentum going with these people. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Actually, what it's telling me is that there's people from all over the world looking for things like this that haven't been to this store. And so my thought on it was, since I am super passionate about jewelry being made eco-consciously, and I have been engaged in that effort since 1985, when everyone thought it was the weirdest thing that I cared about it. I mean, the 80s was just all flash and not a lot of substance. And I was worrying about where were the diamonds coming from? How was the gold being produced? You know, oh my gosh, I hope the labor isn't by small children. And, you know, it was kooky then, but now I get to look back and say, hey, I was a real leader in this. And I just knew that if I could get these products that I have so carefully either made or curated into the hands of more people, that is literally one way to help in the entire endeavor of making jewelry more eco-friendly and more sustainable. So I just figured an e-commerce store was the way to do that.
That's one of the best reasons for embracing e-commerce I think I've ever heard. So many bits and pieces coming into the mix there. And I definitely want to get into that sustainability bit a little bit later. First off, though, let's cover off some of the basics of the business as it is now for the audience. So you're based in America. You're selling globally. The product, all I've said about it so far is that it's eco-conscious fine jewelry. You're a fairly high price point and you're mainly around, would it be fair to say, higher end materials with your jewelry?
Yes, yes. We actually, our range is pretty broad. I mean, I literally have things, and I think they're even on the website in the $40, $50 range, but I still put them through the same scrutiny. So, but yes, our average order value is over $1,600. So, yeah, we're definitely a lot more in gold, platinum, diamonds, a lot of Montana sapphires because they are fair trade naturally. So that's a big deal. And they're from here. So they're starting to gain a lot of traction all over the world. So we're excited about that. Yeah.
And you get to use a local resource as well, which is kind
of
cool.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I feel like you can't often say that in jewelry in the West.
You're 100% right. There's almost every state in the 50 states, they all have like a state gem, but it would be a gem that if you went to somewhere, another state, they'd be like, I don't want that. You know, it's more of it's somewhat gimmicky, kitschy, maybe, you know, but not generally considered something fine. You know, like Maine has tourmalines, but Montana's the only place in the union that produces a truly durable gem like sapphire in gem quality. So
nice. Okay. And then what does the team look like? I mean, across the whole business, because you're doing production and design right the way through to dispatch. So What does the team look like?
All right. So there's 12 of us. So two of them do strictly metalsmithing. And then we do have other people on the team who do smaller tasks involving repair and, you know, just some smaller things in terms of production or repair. And everyone on staff, with the exception of the two full-time metalsmiths, are doing something on the website. But they're also doing your typical brick and mortar type of work. We're waiting on customers, we're greeting, doing all that. So pretty much everyone is involved with product photography, writing descriptions, categorizing things, which is super important for jewelry, filling the orders, customer service, because we just have our channels open all day long when we're here. So via chat, via text, phone, email, we're doing that all day long. And all of us do that. So
what was your rationale to not have a web team and a store team, but to have everyone involved in every element?
Well, jewelry in general, but I think very specifically artisanal jewelry. So our expression at the store is no Mick jewelry. That's what I'm not really supposed to use that, actually. So, you know.
It's all right. We won't tell the lawyers. It's fine.
Exactly. Is that there is a true story in it because there's a human behind it. It's none of this is corporately made at all. And there is so much that I can't translate to a person who doesn't have their literal fingers on the product. So it never really crossed my mind because I knew I would need to have people in store to do the work the way I want it done. And with them touching the product, I flat out don't have room for more here. Hey, teeny tiny place. So instead, I wrapped it into the general running of the business. And I think what has happened is definitely during our interview process, if someone has previous retail experience, I'll tell them, if you're used to standing around and doing a lot of nothing, you're going to hate this job. We are all always wearing a lot of hats. And what's happened is I've reached stasis. I end up attracting people to this job that don't like to lack for things to do. I attract people who want to be busy and want to increase their skills. And people who really do like to just sit, they don't show up. So it's worked out pretty well.
I love how that's both a, you know, like product-driven decision-making, but also mentality and culture-driven decision-making as well. Because it's, I imagine to some extent, it's a little bit easier to keep a cohesive team when everyone's doing all the same stuff. You know, like there's not, why do they get to sit in the back writing copy all day? Doesn't really occur.
No. I'll hear conversations amongst them. Yeah, I don't, can I do that? You know, can we swap, you know? I'm all for it. You know, find your happy in my place. That's great. And I guess the one thing I need to mention is regarding marketing, there's basically three of us that do everything regarding the marketing of the website. So I have a marketing manager. She's off site. She used to live here, though. So she knows the ethos of the store, which matters to me, and myself. And then my manager, Chantel. So she also is on that team. So we execute, we kind of do the strategy. And we have a outside team that does email flows. And we have an outside team that guides us on SEO. They do some of our SEO work, but then the main thing they do is assign us things to do so we can do it in our own voice.
It's very easy to spend a lot of time on SEO without doing the things you should do. It's kind of like, you know, or trying to teach your SEO agency how to write the copyright. If you get them to do the strategy and tell you what to do and then you execute, seems like a pretty good way of going about it to me.
Yeah, I just need to buy more hours in the day, but that's okay.
Yeah, don't we all though? Don't we all? So how do you balance focus between the retail, physical retail space and the online world? Because I imagine it, as you're talking to me now, you're sat in the back of the retail space. We've just said, you know, the team are there doing the online tasks as well as the offline tasks. So therefore, visually around you, the physical space, the physical retail space is there all the time. So how do you balance it so you're getting the focus right between the two sales channels?
Wow. I imagine, as opposed to it being that I have some sort of actual approach to the balance, is I go where I'm needed. So obviously, if we've just seen a online order come through and we have a whole bunch of people walk in the store, I call it that a bus opens up, because sometimes that's what it feels like in brick and mortar. You'll have a lull with literally zero customers, and then you'll have 15 people in the store and four staff to help them. So some of it is dictated from outside of me. The fact that I have maintained my sanity means I guess I'm okay with this at this time. I would imagine that if it got to the point where all of us were saying, okay, this is just beyond the pale, we cannot possibly execute anymore, that would be time to hire. And then I wouldn't need to look at where I was going to put them.
That makes so much sense, because sometimes it's if you've not got the customers appearing, then you can go, right, Tuesday and Wednesday I will spend working on this, and Thursday and Friday I'll spend working on this. But when you're in that retail space, there is so little opportunity to do that.
That is correct. Yeah. What I do is very much dictated by the warm bodies, for sure. But obviously, if I'm engaged in a virtual appointment with someone, that is regarded here with as much, it has complete sanctity. So that's the same as if someone came in the store and had an appointment with me that they had set for an in-person appointment. So, you know, we can get into a pickle from time to time with not enough, you know, folks to go around, but it's rare enough that I can't recall the last time. So I think we're all right for now.
That makes sense. And you mentioned there the individual one-on-one consultations, because we've only really mentioned the physical product so far, but you do have a number of services you're offering people as well. So can you just explain a quick bit about those, please?
Yeah. One of the things I really was hoping to do with e-commerce, and, you know, bit by bit we're figuring it out, is we would love to emulate what we have here in the store in terms of appointments, which I do things regarding custom work. So virtual custom appointments, we can do bridal styling, you know, people trying to figure out what to wear with their wedding dress, because it is kind of a slightly special day and you're wearing a lot more stuff than you usually do. I'll do antique reproduction. So if you have a very, very old piece, but it has reached the end of its useful life, we can talk about, okay, well, yes, I'm going to go ahead and reproduce this, but just so you know, it's going to look like this piece did when it was new, not like this piece right before it completely came undone. So I can't really do appraisals long distance, but we can guide people on things like repairs. You know, as long as they have a good enough camera so they can show us what's going on, we can sometimes diagnose that way. So yeah, there's quite a bit that we can do. And since custom work is kind of a cornerstone of our brick and mortar, I thought it was important because many people don't have a custom jeweler in their town in the States, you know, especially if they're living somewhere smaller. So because the craft is, we don't have as many people doing the craft as we need, frankly. So especially for something like one-offs. So but I love meeting people from all over and helping them with their projects. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
I find it so cool that you are trying to mirror the same services and the same experience online that people get in the physical store. Because so often when someone's running a single store business and they launch an online site, the online site kind of gets forgotten about and it's just like, we'll put the products up and it'll be fine. You know, whereas your approach seems a lot more all-encompassing, and that we want to make sure people get the same experience. I overuse word in e-commerce, but the same experience, whether they're in-store or they're in the online space.
Yeah, it is definitely more holistic. And hence the way that we use staff makes more sense then. But yeah, we'll do virtual shopping tours, because for some people, particularly people who are a wee bit older, the clicking and the looking and the looking and the filters and the thing, you know, it kind of takes all the fun out of it. And so we're totally happy to set an appointment and do something via FaceTime, just in the store, showing them what's in the cases.
That's such an obvious thing to do, but somewhat mind-blowing at the same time. How strange that a customer might want to see the jewelry and be walked around the store. It's kind of obvious, but somewhat mind-blowing. Now, you mentioned about how purpose-driven you've been right since the 80s, the beginning of your jewelry career, about creating a more sustainable, ethical jewelry and kind of educating the customers as well. I think, personally, I think we're in a space where people still aren't that aware of the ethics of the production of their jewelry. Has it moved? Certainly not as much as people are becoming aware in the clothing fashion space. It feels like in jewelry, yeah, we know blood diamonds are bad, but the rest of the mix we seem to have forgotten about. Do you find that with customers?
I do find it with a certain number of customers, because of course we have our devotees who are like, they could preach it probably better than I can ultimately. But no, I'll encounter people all the time that still have a mindset of that it's precious materials, and so I'm trying to get them for as little money as I can. But it turns out that they actually have more refined taste, and that can be kind of the opening for me, is if they are looking for something that they would consider more unique, a little more special. We do a lot of one-of-a-kind. People love that idea. The very artisanal and one-of-a-kind nature allows us to open the door on the sustainability part of it. And I think we've definitely crossed some sort of threshold, because, to toot my own horn, we were invited to be the subject of a short form documentary. Ooh. That'll be coming out on US public television over the next year. And it's an episodic show on public television called Empowered with Meg Ryan. And we were chosen because of producing ethically sourced jewelry. So certainly there's some powers that be that recognize that, okay, we managed to do it with fast fashion, at least to get some people to maybe think twice. Maybe that doesn't mean they always buy that way, but hey, doing it in increments is fine, right? I doubt we're ever going to be able to flip the switch and everybody's doing everything very sustainably, but doing it just bit by bit is fine with me. And I think that is now happening with the jewelry business. And it's happening to the jewelry business to the extent that I see brands throwing the ethical thing on their website and throwing eco-conscious on their website. And I'm like, but really? And, you know, I'll often know where those products are coming from. And I'll be like, not so much. They're just using it as a word, and I use it as a mantra. So.
But like you say, it is progress. At least they think they need to use the word, even if they're not using it as well as they should do.
Exactly. I do consider that progress. If they think it's something that should be cared about, even if maybe they're not caring about it through their direct actions, that's something still. One of the most ethical things a person can do regarding jewelry that is often not available to them, because there's jewelers who won't do this, is we will reuse your existing materials. Your stones, your found objects. We have an amazing diamond cutter who can fix a broken diamond, an amazing lapidarist who can, you know, repolish a colored stone, and we can refine your metal to reuse it. But a lot of jewelers don't want to set stones that they didn't sell. I'm not exactly sure why, probably because of the pressure of the sentimentality, but I just manage people's expectations on the front end. Things can go wrong. And trust me when I say your stone is going to be handled with the greatest of care. But even with the greatest of care, things can still go wrong. It's just managing expectations, which we have to do in the gallery all the time.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Running ads across a broad channel mix, but unsure where to invest your next pound? Alvi helps e-commerce experts like you with full funnel attribution, budget allocation, and automated bidding towards real business outcomes, so you can stop guessing and start scaling. Take children's clothing retailer POP, for example, who saw a 27% increase in average order value after implementing Alvi's bidding signals. Do you want similar results? Then go to ecmp.info/Alvi and book your demo. Make sure you add the note e-commerce master plan when you book to get your 3-month free trial. That's ecmp.info/Alvi to book your demo. ecmp.info/Alvie.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Babs, are you ready for the top tips?
I am ready for top tips.
Awesome. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would recommend Let My People Go Surfing by Yvon Chouinard. So for those who don't know, he was the founder of Patagonia. So this story has a lot to do with purpose, environment, craftsmanship. It's a celebration of companies that choose to be great instead of being big, value-driven companies, community-focused businesses. I like to think that if Patagonia were a jewelry store, it would probably look like a LARP.
I love that. It's no surprise at all that you would be recommending that book, I have to say. Very, very on message. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Well, what we prize the most and what gives us the greatest results are really finely tuned, highly segmented email flows. And we also do a long-term nurture that is very, big surprise, educational in nature about jewelry and jewelry care. That seems to do really well for us. What we are prizing that we haven't yet done, because I want to do it the right way, is a referral program. Because in jewelry general, like physical, you know, with the brick and mortar store, referrals, we do lots of advertising, but referrals are your strongest type of marketing. So we'd like to, that's something we're looking forward to doing soon.
It's tricky to get that right and to, in the online space, and to be confident in what happens. There's loads of different routes you can do, like pure referrals, loyalty programs, VIP programs. There's almost a smorgasbord to pick from. So I love the fact you're taking your time to find the route that works. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So this is a teeny tiny thing. I hope lots of people are using it. We use the heck out of Bitly just to be able to track every single blessed thing we do. So that's a teeny weeny one. And my other one would be, I would recommend to people to take the time, and it is considerable, but to take the time to season a ChatGPT or whatever your AI thing is into, to learn your company voice. This brings a lot of efficiency and consistent tone to the various parts of the website I don't write, but we end up having consistency. So I would highly recommend doing that. It's not as quick as you'd think, but I would highly recommend it.
Yes, quite a bit of legwork, but it'll pay off over the coming months and years. Yeah, I love that tip. Okay, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
So I have been buying carbon offsets for our business in general since TerraPass was founded. I believe it's a UK company in 2004. So I would say consider that. And I do it for everything from our staff's travel expense, you know, the amount that they have to. Luckily, a lot of us are able to walk or bike to work, but, and most of us live pretty close, but some do not. So that all gets calculated. And so I would encourage people to do that and pick something where you feel like the dollars that you're giving are going to something that is actually helping with your carbon footprint. But definitely look at your product. I mean, obviously, I have a great ability to do that, to recycle gold, to use sustainable types of materials. But look at your product. Is it just headed towards a landfill? It would be better if it weren't. Packaging is always an easy way to go. And we looked at everything from our mailer bags to we just went from the top down. So I strongly recommend that.
Yeah, the question of should your product exist is a difficult one.
Yeah. It's tough.
But when we started caring, or you know, really putting sustainability at the front of a lot of our conversations, maybe 5 years ago now, and I thought it would be decades before we were starting to ask the question, should your product exist? But it's actually come to pass a lot quicker than I thought it would. So that's good
yeah,
news.
You.
A little bit of good. Oh, I take no credit for that. I think it's lots of, we're a small part of the raging stream.
By talking about it, you're part of it. Yay. Yay, Team Earth. Whee!
Yay! Well, look, Babs, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yes. I'm at alarajewelry.com. Our Instagram is also Alara Jewelry, just one word. Our Facebook's just Alara Jewelry, one word.
And Babs, I believe you've got a very special offer for our very special audience.
I do. I invite you to partake in a free 1 hour custom jewelry design consultation done virtually. And it's going to be very easy for you to get to. You would just go to alarajewelry.com/masterplan. No code needed. And normally that's a $200 service. So I hope a few people who have, almost everyone does, a little bag or box of nibbly little bits that are made of precious metal that can't be used anymore. You're wrong. They can be used. I'm here to use them.
Love it. Awesome opportunity to create some brilliant jewelry and to get some recycling done at the same time. Babs, I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you. Thank you so much for coming on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast and sharing so much of your insights with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Miss Chloe. You have a good rest of your day.
A real treat to get to chat with Babs there and explore a business which is in some ways a tiny business, one store, one website, but is doing huge turnover and has seen huge growth online in a sector that is notoriously difficult. Jewelry and a high price point jewelry. We're talking four figures here, people, on their AOV. And I think as you listen to Babs chatting, you can see why it is that they are succeeding in the way they are. They have such clear focus and purpose of what they're delivering for their customers, and such a clear and straightforward, quite frankly, approach to building the right experience for those customers. Super excited to see what they do in the coming years. And that documentary, the TV documentary that's coming up with Meg Ryan, that is clearly going to be a really impressive result for them, I should have thought. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and the links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right page of the site. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode and you want more on jewellery, then go and check out episode 355. Yes, you're going to scroll back a little way for this, but trust me, it will be worth it. Where I am talking to another super successful jewellery designer, Larissa Loden. Go and have a listen to that if you're in the jewellery space. It will give you even more good ideas for your business's future. And if you want to hear more Shopify stories, then go to ecmp.info/Shopify to find all the many, many Shopify stories we have there for you. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.